Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I am your host Chantel, and tonight I have the always kick-ass bestie and sidekick with me, Miss Marie Rose.
Hello everybody.
There's no one greater. I love my Marie Rose.
And I love you, my dear.
And I love you. And I love you. And I love you. So we get to hang out again and do another fun episode. And before we get started, we are going to hit you guys with the tarot of the day, the tarot talk, the tarot reading, the magic of tarot. Hit us hard, Marie Rose. Hit us hard. So,
okay. So,
what do you have?
So, for today, we drew the judgment card. It's just a one card draw.
Ooh.
And it's the judgment card. And for those of you who are not familiar with this particular card, it is one of the major cards, major arcana cards, and it is the Archangel Gabriel basically coming out of the heavens, blowing his trumpet, and below him is the ocean. And I know this sounds creepy, but there's floating coffins with people coming out of the coffins. A man, a woman, a child is in the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's pretty damn creepy.
It is pretty creepy, but it's rebirth. It's mm-hmm. starting over. It's rebirth. However,
or zombies. Nobody knows.
Right. However, what we drew today was the judgment card reversed. So that's a little ominous.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that is basically weakness, delusionment, failure to find happiness, not fun stuff, but I think what this is telling you, and possible loss of possessions. So what I think this is warning us this week, dear listeners, is to be careful and be safe. Don't go off making stupid purchases. Don't go off making stupid bets. Because chances are you'll lose. And, you know, so things are going to come up. Things from the past that you thought you would put away. You know, keep calm. Let it go. And get it through this. This too shall pass. Or maybe something's coming up from the past that you just haven't dealt with yet. And you need to deal with it in order to move on with your life.
Right. You won't literally be finding coffins with people coming out of them.
No.
That.
What?
That's JK, creepy. JK.
That's creepy. But so just be aware, be strong, and this is, like I said, it's an ominous card, but I think it's a warning, and see how it reflects with you. You know, see if in this coming week, if anything comes up that you're like, dadgummit, why is this person coming back and bothering me? You know, there's maybe a lesson that you just haven't learned yet. What is it? Or maybe it's a test of your patience. You know, so anyways, whatever resonates with you, just be smart. Be smart this week.
Agreed. And, you know, it being an ominous card doesn't mean that the outcome has to be negative in any way. It really, like Marie said, this is a good opportunity to reflect on what this could be. It's a good reminder just to be cautious in general, you know, be forgiving, don't hold judgment. Hold judgment against other people. Don't hold judgment against yourself. You know, like, take it easy. So it doesn't have to be, you know, super negative or whatever the case. It's what you make it. So what energy are you prepared to put into this? You know, reflect on yourself. Reflect on some stuff, like Marie said, some stuff that you maybe haven't let go of yet or whatever the case. So, you know, and do a little research on your own. And if you guys have questions, feel free to let us know. And, you know, the lovely Marie Rose will elaborate, because that's just what she does. She gets down with the tarot.
I'm digging it.
She does it well.
I'm digging it.
I'm like, oh, pretty cards.
Well, I love the angel cards when they come out. And this one's Gabriel. It's reversed. And it's a whole new ball game when the when the cards come out reversed.
It is. It is. They have double meanings, if you will.
Right.
Double meaning. So, you know, take it the way you will and figure out what resonates with you and go from there.
Yep. Be safe. Make smart decisions or postpone decisions if it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, don't be stupid. Just you know what's right for you. Yeah. Listen to your gut. Trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Trust how it makes you feel when you make that decision. Exactly. If it feels wrong, then it's wrong for you.
Yeah. And we're definitely not calling anyone stupid. We are looking out for you guys and just relaying a message that the universe sent to us.
That's right.
So here we go tonight, you guys. And thank you, Miss Marie Rose, because I am enjoying these, the tarot readings for the week. I am liking this
new edition.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So for this week's episode, you guys, we are talking about haunted forests because it's summertime. And what happens in the summertime? People go camping. Where do they go camping? In the woods, in the forest, you know, where there's a lot of greenery, tall greenery, and it's creepy. And there are so many slasher films from forever ago, you know, Jason, not running, but fast walking through the woods, chasing teenagers that are, you know, I say chasing, but not chasing because he doesn't run. He doesn't. He takes his time, but he gets you regardless because inevitably you're the girl that's been having, you know, teenage premarital sex in the van over there with the dirty ass mattress in the back.
Bad decisions.
Yeah. Bad decisions. Hello. Upside down judgment card. And you ran out of the van because your boyfriend just got slaughtered and you're running through the woods in the dark. And oh my God, you tripped over a root. And who saw that coming? We did.
Bad decisions.
Yeah. Bad decisions. So this is the season for the camping and the campfire story. So we're going to kick it off with some haunted forestry, because why not?
You're gonna scare me out of camping this year, aren't you?
That is my hope. I want everyone to know it's safest indoors with your AC on. That's where you belong. Because, you know, who wants to get eaten up by mosquitoes, Marie Rose? Not me.
No, not me.
Mm-mm.
I have been eaten up by mosquitoes, but if there is a mosquito in a 10-mile radius, it will find me.
Yes, and it will proceed to find me. I do wish that mosquitoes, like, they were like bees, like, you know, when they sting you, they die. But I wish, like, when a mosquito bit you and, you know, took some of your life's blood, that it too would expire, but it doesn't. Damn it.
It goes makes babies.
I'm going to write to someone about that.
You're going to write a strongly worded letter?
I am.
To somebody?
I don't know to who, but the same person that I'm going to complain to about humidity. That's that person.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So let's kick things off. The first one on our list, and these are in no particular order. Like, we're not starting with the scariest or the least scariest. We're just jumping in. So we have Isla de las Muñecas in Mexico.
Say that again.
Isla de las Muñecas. And what that means, it's the island of the dolls. So, you know, do with that what you will. Because, listen, I'm not going to an island of dolls. Not going to happen. I don't even like going to people's houses when they have a bunch of dolls. It creeps me out. I don't like it.
It's just dolls.
It is an empty vessel just waiting to be filled.
I've heard that before.
Have you?
I've heard that before.
I feel like I made that up on the spot. Clearly, I'm not original. I do. I've always been creeped out by dolls. Like the, not like the Cabbage Patch doll, but like the lifelike doll.
The ones that creeped me out were like the ceramic head dolls.
Yeah.
They creep me out.
Yeah, those are the ones. They look very lifelike. I'm like, you look like a very, very miniature person.
It could be the Chucky movies.
No, it was before that. Really? I've never been a fan. Mm-mm. And I went to someone's house once that, like, I am not even kidding when I say there was a damn shelf everywhere. And a bookcase everywhere, or like glass shelving everywhere, and like everything had dolls on top of the cabinets. You know where
collector?
Yeah, above the cabinets, where there's like the space between the top of the cabinet and the ceiling, dolls. Like they were effing everywhere. I was like, what the fuck?
I had an extensive doll collection,
an extensive haunting, because, yeah. So okay. Isla de las Muñecas. So, as if forests weren't scary enough on their own, this one is located along the canals of Xochimilco near Mexico City. I think I pronounced that right. And this island is covered in dolls that hang from trees. Local legend has it that the island's caretaker hung the first doll to honor a little girl that he found drowned on the island. The doll was thought to be hers. The caretaker then felt as if he was being haunted by the girl's spirit, so he continued to string up dolls in hopes of appeasing her. 50 years and plenty of dolls later, he reportedly drowned in the same spot the girl did. Today, the island has become a popular tourist destination. Visitors claim that the dolls move their eyes, heads, and limbs, and that they're possessed by spirits.
That is creepy.
Yeah. So I heard about this place a few years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I want to say I also read a book, which was a work of fiction, but they used this setting, the Island of Dolls, you know, as the place of supernatural activity or whatever. Like, I don't remember the book.
It was the setting of the book.
It was not a very good story. I was kind of pissed that I spent the time reading it. I was like, you can't even know. But anyway.
Can't get that part of your life back.
I cannot. Those few hours. But yeah, so I have heard of this before and it looks creepy as hell. And actually, I want to say like this, there was a show and I don't remember what the show was, but there was a TV show like a few years ago that also used this place in an episode. And, you know, obviously I don't think they went to the same place, but
I'm surprised this hasn't become a movie yet.
Oh, it probably has. And we just don't know.
It was that bad.
I don't know.
We think.
We are the critics.
Of a movie that we don't even know exists.
We don't
yet.
Even know it exists, but it's horrible.
We're judging now.
We're judging. Turn that card around. It's mocking me. All right. So that is the first one, you guys. The Island of the Dolls, or Isla de las Muñecas in Mexico. Onward and upward.
Okay. All right. So what we've got next is a haunted forest in Romania. The Hoia Basu Forest. So it seems fitting that a haunted forest in Romania would be located near the unofficial capital of the country's Transylvania region. Ooh. Cluj-Napoca. I hope I'm saying it right.
Yeah, we're going to butcher all kinds of stuff, you guys. We're really sorry in advance.
So this haunted forest was first recognized when a military technician photographed what he claimed was a UFO that appeared in part of the forest known as the Clearing. Ooh. Back in 1968. So this was over 50 years ago.
That sounds creepy.
It is creepy. The Clearing has stumped visitors, locals, and scientists for decades. It's where nothing grows and nothing has ever grown.
I really am enjoying your mystery radio voice right now. I really, really am.
So what's even weirder is that the trees that do grow in the forest, they grow in weird patterns. They zig, they zag, they spiral.
No.
And no one has ever been able to explain it. Some brave tourists can go and tour the forest at night, but they have reported feeling an odd sense of anxiety or nauseous or the feeling of being watched.
You know who's watching them?
The zigzag spirally trees?
Yes. And the dolls from Mexico. No. Mm-mm. So I'm sure there is a logical explanation for the Clearing, but the name alone just renders the creeps, like the freaking goosebumps. And I mean, trees, they grow in weird patterns. I mean, I'm sure there's crazy patterns out there that no one has seen, and they're just, you know, they're growing around each other and around, you know, spirits,
but
whatever.
It's near Transylvania. I want to suck your blood.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Okay.
Oh gosh. All right. Up next we have the Black Forest in Germany, you guys. So
wait a minute. Is this where Black Forest cake comes from?
Oh, I sure hope so, because I would go there. I would risk a ghost for a good piece of cake.
You would go to a haunted forest.
I sure would.
For Mary a Rose. Good piece with of a cherry on Black top? Forest cake. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love me some Black Forest cake.
Right? Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Bad decisions.
I know. The carbs, they're calling me.
The from sugars. From the haunted forest.
I know. From the haunted Black Forest. So the name of this forest does sound very ominous to go along with our card. But the Brothers Grimm solidified its haunted reputation by using it as the setting for many of their fairy tales like Hansel and Gretel. So I thought that was very cool. I didn't know that story was actually based on a real place. So very cool. So the Black Forest is nestled in southwestern Germany and bordered by the Rhine River. The Black Forest's tall evergreens are as beautiful as they are sinister and said to be home to paranormal creatures ranging from witches to werewolves. This region is known for the unique way in which its people celebrate carnival by dressing up like witches, demons, and scary spirits and animals. No.
Oh, come on, it's like Halloween.
All the time. No, because when they're not dressing up, something else is.
No.
No, thank you. Next.
All right, so we are moving on to my dad's home state. It is June and near Father's Day, so we're going to North Carolina.
Are you going to go camp? No. In the woods? At this place?
No. This is the Devil's Tramping Ground.
It sounds amazing.
I'm not going. No.
Well, I think you should.
No, I'm not.
Do it for the show, Marie Rose.
No. I've got my limits. Love you, but no.
Love you, me.
Yeah. Black Forest, one thing. Devil's Tramping Ground. Yeah. No.
Like, it literally has evil in the name.
Right. No, not doing it.
Oh, it does. If you take the D off a devil. It's evil. Evil tramping ground. Yeah. North Carolina. Yeah. No, thank you.
Tramp. No.
Not evil doing tramp.
Not doing it.
Evil tramp ground.
Yeah. Not doing it.
No.
So this mysterious round patch of barren soil lays in the midst of a forest, but no kind of
vegetation. What the heck?
Yeah. Nothing.
This is another
there.
The clearing.
Yeah. So no vegetation will grow there. And according to legend that dates back to when Chatham County, where the forest is located, was founded, this circle is where the devil comes out at night to do his pacing and thinking.
You'd think he'd choose better than like pacing like at a ground, like a campground or a like.
Well, he's in the middle of the woods. So okay. It's, you know, probably a good place, you know, for him to get some peace and quiet.
Sure, so. Sure.
So
he needs that too, I suppose.
So it's for that reason that nothing will grow there. And rumors claim that no human has ever been able to spend the night at the grounds, and that even dogs act scared when they come across it. Other theories have been put forth everywhere from a UFO landing to the claim that the grounds are a site of a Magdalene crystal column of energy.
Wow. So that is the second forest we have talked about. Only out of three that we've talked about, right? There's been like three.
Right.
And it too has, well, out of four, but it also has this clearing where nothing will grow.
It's like the earth has been salted or something.
Right.
Or something happened there where nothing will grow.
And I wonder if that's where the devil does his pacing and thinking, because they have done a salt ring. So when he pops up in the middle of it and he's like, son of a bitch.
I'm stuck.
I did it again.
I'm stuck.
Yeah. Because he needs a place to pontificate. He just does.
Well, he can go somewhere else. He can leave our woods alone.
Yeah. Well, he's not gonna. Because then we wouldn't have an episode on haunted forests. Yeah. Because what would we talk about? Other haunted places.
I don't know. Haunted oceans. I don't know. Haunted lakes. Oceans. Haunted lakes.
Haunted toilets. I bet it's a thing.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to find out.
Okay.
We'll get back to you guys. All right. Next up, we have Wickwood Forest in England. So this place, there's no one like historic event that confirms the fact that these woods are haunted. But those that have stepped inside this used to be a royal hunting ground. So some of the people that have been there have claimed to have seen some pretty scary stuff, like apparitions of crying kids in a horse-drawn carriage, which no. The touch of a random hand. Listen, I don't even know what to say.
No, too scary.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the story of the ghost of Amy Robsart, the wife of the Earl of Leicester, I believe is what it is. So Amy mysteriously died of a broken neck, and her husband is said to have come across her ghost while hunting in the forest. So her ghost told him that he would be dead within 10 days. And you know what? He was. Like, she came from the great beyond and was like, 10 days. You know, like, what's that movie? The Ring? 7 days. Like that. Except it was 10 days. She added 3 days.
10 days. Mm-hmm.
And she was, you know, pre the ring. So hers is better. Because she came a person, you know, so to speak, without a body. A disembodied message. That's what she gave him. So anyway, now the legend has it that her ghost has the same effect on anyone who comes across her in the forest to this day. So is she running around telling everybody that she sees they only have 10 days to live?
Or she's given them, okay, you've got 30 days. You have 300 days.
You're going to die in 5 days. And right. You're going to die in 5 days. And you're going to die.
You've got 30 years.
Mm-hmm. She's giving them the Oprah treatment.
Yeah, she's giving everybody their timelines so they can get their affairs in order.
I don't care for that. Amy, knock it off.
You don't. If you had the choice, you wouldn't want to know when you were going to pass.
No.
I think it would be a horrible thing to know.
I do too. I mean, it helps you prepare, I guess. But then at the same time, like, you kind of stop living your life.
Yeah, I think it would prevent you. I've heard stories of people who find out that they're going to die. They all of a sudden decide to start living.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. If a ghost came to me and said I have X number of days, I would scare the living crap out of me.
Me too. Like, if I ran across Amy in the forest, which I'm not going to Wickwood Forest, but if I did, or she decided to go to another forest and she's like, you have 2 days, I'd be like, I mean, it's gonna take me 2 days to shave my legs. I have no time. No time to do anything.
Shaving my legs would be the last thing on my list if I well I want to go out hours. Pretty
Marie Rose,
you know what,
I'm gonna straighten my hair. Damn humidity be damned.
No, you know what, I will have a list for the mortician. Do all these things because I'm going to go out and live right now.
I'm going to need you to.
Screw the hair. Screw the hairy legs. Yeah. No. We're going to go out and enjoy the next.
Yeah. That's a good point. I'll be like, can you touch up my highlights? And
right. This is the way I want to look. Well,
first give me highlights and then
actually,
touch them up.
Actually, it's not going to be my thing. I'm going to get cremated.
Me too. But I want to look good in the box.
Before they
were on the conveyor belt. I don't know how you go into that oven, but I still want to look pretty, Marie Rose.
You're beautiful.
I want to look beautiful as I go into the fire with smooth legs.
Okay. Duly noted. I will remember.
True. Yeah. I'll write that down.
I'll make a list. Yeah. I'll make a list. Okay. So moving on, there is in California the Elfin Forest. And some call this forest one of the most haunted regions in California.
And I wish I had known about this when I lived in San Diego, because I wouldn't have gone, but I would have thought it very cool. It was so close to me.
It would have been a great Halloween adventure.
I know.
So did you hear of this place, Escondido?
Oh, yeah. I lived near Escondido.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That could explain a lot of the stuff that you went through over there.
It's from the They came from the forest.
They came from the forest.
That sounds like a movie. They came from the forest.
You know what? We need to copyright that now. Copyright it. Yes. Before some Hollywood.
You heard it here first, guys.
That's right. Before first. The Hollywood moguls, yes, steal our idea.
They came from the forest.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's your haunted forest movie.
Yep. And that's as far as we've gotten.
So this forest is believed to have once been home to Native American tribes, and because they have found a number of artifacts Indian artifacts there. It was also the site of a now abandoned insane asylum.
That is right up my alley.
Scary.
They are probably the ones that were haunting me. Right. They were pissed off it.
The insane asylum people?
Yeah, they were pissed off it.
But the most common story you'll hear about the Elfin Forest is about the gypsies living there in the early 1800s. They were chased out and even murdered. Ooh. By the townspeople. Assholes.
Yeah, that's not nice.
Why would you murder the gypsies?
I mean, what'd they do to you?
So it caused the remaining gypsies to curse the forest.
As one does.
Right. So ever since then, hikers and visitors have reported sightings of a ghostly woman in a white dress. They've reported bleeding trees and even a spirit riding on a horse.
Listen, any one of those will send me running. If I see an effing tree bleeding, I know there's no red in there.
No.
No. So I'm out. Like, camping equipment be damned. We're done.
Oh, yeah. The camping equipment can stay.
We're divorced, nature. We're done. No. Gosh, I wish I had known about that place when I was there. What a bummer. All right. So next up, we have Dal Hill Forest in India. Oh, yes, guys. So this forest surrounds the Dal Hills Victoria Boys School, which just happens to be one of the most haunted places in India. I mean, to have that reputation, one of the most haunted, like, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot to carry. So the school's hallways are said to be filled with the sound of footsteps, even when it's closed for vacation. So if I am there, like, you know, as one of the skeleton crew, listen, the moment I hear phantom footsteps, I'm out. My shift is officially over. So if you think the footsteps in the hallways that are vacant is creepy, the forest is even creepier. So there are rumors that say there have been multiple murders in those forests, and woodcutters have reported sightings of a decapitated boy walking along Death Road, which is the path that stretches between the school and the forest. All the nopes.
Yeah, there's no way.
Not going to happen. No. Number one, a school, a boys' school. Like, there's something about a school, like an empty school, that has like an eerie energy.
Yeah, because, you know, there was a lot of youthful energy in there at one point. You know, mm-hmm. There was a lot of activity, a lot of running, mm-hmm. You know, just a lot of activity, mm-hmm. You know, fun, fights, everything. You know, and the fact that it involves children, mm-hmm. You know, it just
kids
adds,
are creepy. It I see where you're going with this. I'm going to finish your sentence.
it adds to it because, yeah. You know, kids are supposed to be happy and fun, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. And yeah, but it adds to the, and when it's deserted, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, where'd they all go?
Yeah. The deserted ones. I mean, even when it's like empty, I'm like, not my favorite. But when it's deserted, like no one's been there for a minute, I'm like, no, not my jam. I'm not going to be hanging out on Death Road or like, no, I don't want to see decapitated anything.
No, no, no.
Mm-mm. Ugh.
No, no, de- no, no, no,
no. No to decapitation.
No to decapitated children. No, 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 no.
No to decapitated anyone.
Right. Okay, so now we're going to go to New Jersey. Pine Barrens, New Jersey.
We're jumping around the country. I mean,
the world. The world. This is
jumping around the world.
Right. This is a Globetrotter mm-hmm. haunted forest episode.
The Globetrotter.
So, Pine Barrens spans 7 counties.
Jeez.
And, well.
Yeah. I guess, you know, New Jersey.
It's a small state.
Yeah, but, I mean, these counties must be small.
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with New Jersey counties. But it spans a lot of counties. 7 counties and contains all kinds of ghost stories. So during the colonial era, the area was bustling with sawmills, paper mills, and towns to accompany them. And they were all abandoned when coal was discovered in Pennsylvania, leaving eerie ghost towns in their wake.
See, I think that's creepier than abandoned buildings. It's like an entire town just abandoned.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're abandoned for all kinds of different reasons, but no matter the reason, like there are some, have you ever watched those YouTube videos about abandoned houses, abandoned buildings, abandoned towns?
Yeah. I actually visited in Colorado. It was an abandoned town. It was in the middle of the woods. You can't get there by car. It's literally in the middle of the woods. And it was during the gold rush. And the you could still see the remnants of a post office. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's all, the trees are all, you see outlines on the ground of where the buildings were. But, you know, it's all forest now. But I think the post office was still the most prominent thing there. But it was an abandoned gold mining town.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, it wasn't creepy because it was a beautiful sunny day in the forest in Colorado. So it was a cool thing to see. We mm-hmm. were riding four wheelers and we went there specifically to find, wow. to find this abandoned town.
How big was it?
It was small. It was tiny. It was a tiny little place.
Wow.
But
I've seen the videos where they have like, they go into some of the homes and there's still like dishes in the, you know, like on the counter and it's crazy. I'm like, what the hell? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to New Jersey. The forest is said to be the home of the infamous Jersey Devil, a beast that the Pinelands Preservation Alliance describes as a kangaroo-like creature with the face of a horse, the head of a dog, bat-like wings, horns, and a tail.
So it can't decide what it wants to look like.
I think it's a mush of a bunch of
it's a mutt.
Bad energies put together. According to folklore, it was the 13th child of a woman named Deborah Leeds, who offered it to the devil while pregnant with it in 1735.
That's crazy.
When it was born, the newborn sprouted talons, hooves, and wings, killed its mother, its siblings, and the midwife before disappearing. And sightings persist today as it continues to terrorize animals and humans.
All the nopes. So we have an undecided creature.
Scary.
Who wants to be a bat and a dog and a horse and something with horns and a tail. No.
Scary.
No. All right. So next up, we are going back to England to the Epping Forest. So this forest is probably best known for or known as the site of at least one of the murders committed by highwayman Dick Turpin back in the 18th century. So the expansive forest, which stretches for over 9 square miles, is covered with thick trees that haven't been cut in over 100 years due to the Epping Forest Act of 1878. If the trees aren't enough to spook you, which you should see some images because daggone, chances are the ghosts, spirits, or muffled drum noises of deceased soldiers that visitors have reported will definitely do the trick. Cars parked on nearby Hangman's Hill are said to roll uphill when parked in neutral. So a lot of ghost activity going on at Epping Forest in England. If you don't believe the people that have reported these findings, go check it out for yourself. I shan't be there. Not going to happen.
It's too scary.
Yeah. For your car to roll uphill when parked? No. Parked in neutral. So it's not really parked. It's sitting in neutral. Idling.
There's actually a local ghost story like that.
There, I've heard this before. There are a lot of different places. Texas has a place and...
About something about putting your car in neutral and it'll roll uphill.
Yeah, and there, I've heard stories of this where it's like little kids, like they then find like these little handprints on the trunk of the car that were like, you know, pushing the car. I'm like,
that's creepy.
Again with the little kid ghosts. Again.
All right, so we're going to come back to the good old US of A and head to Wyoming to the beloved Yellowstone National Park. So many of you know that this was the first national park in the United States.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yogi I didn't
Bear.
Know that.
Yogi Bear, right? Yogi Bear is from Yellowstone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Yellowstone is known for its wildlife and its many hot springs, but it's also the setting of many deaths. So when the park, so naturally the park is rumored to be haunted. Some of the most popular stories come out of the Old Faithful Inn, although it is said that the stories were made up by an employee to entertain the guests, people have claimed to witness some of the events. One of the tales is a headless bride who walks around the inn at midnight.
Ooh, the witching hour. Or the magic hour, as we renamed it.
That's right. And room two is rumored to be haunted by mysterious apparitions who may appear floating at the foot of the bed.
Ugh. That's creepy.
And there's also a number of stories where they hear cries that can be heard throughout the park by people who have drowned in the hot springs.
Oh my Lord. What
and
the heck?
And I actually remember this story about an accident that happened 3 years ago, 2016. And there's all kinds of different versions of the same story. But the one version says that this man was lured into the Norris Geyser Basin by a siren. And a first responder to the scene claims that the man stood staring at a floating nude figure with translucent skin who was humming and then fell into the water.
Hell no.
Into the spring. The man died falling into the spring in November of 2016, and the search and rescue rangers spotted his body in the pool the day of the accident. However, a lightning storm prevented them from grabbing him.
Yeah.
But then the next day, they couldn't find his body.
Oh, my Lord.
I actually remember that one in the news.
That's crazy.
That a man fell into the springs at Yellowstone. Great. All I could think is what could possess him? No sane person does that.
That's right. He was a sane person that went into the woods. Stay inside, everybody. Stay inside.
Well, I mean, seriously, he saw a naked woman and he lost all his senses.
Right? Good Lord. All right. We are hopping a train to Illinois and going to Robinson Woods. That's right, guys. So these woods are now a forest preserve, but there was a time when the land was given to the family of Alexander Robinson. So Robinson was the chief of several Native American tribes who helped save people during the Fort Dearborn massacre. So at the time, it was promised that he would be buried there when he died with the rest of his family. So the city broke its promise and buried Robinson somewhere else, which naturally it's going to piss him off. It would piss me off. So it's said that his spirit haunts the woods, and there are numerous stories of a heavy presence in the woods and mysterious activity at night, including knocking sounds, screams, and dark shadows. And during the day, groups of deer randomly circle visitors, because why not? No, just more of the nopes for me, because
you're not much about nature anyway.
That's true, Marie Rose, because, you know, we had this conversation about meditating whilst leaning up against a tree. Nature and the nature of an ant would be like get in her hair or crawl all over her. I couldn't focus. There would be no way.
Do it in the wintertime.
There are ants in the winter. We don't have real winter here.
That's true.
It's always warm. So the ants are not like, oh, don't go out, guys. They're like,
it's too cold.
Yeah. Now's the time, guys. That's what they say.
Okay. So now we are heading north to Maine. And that's actually one state I've never visited. That's a bucket list of mine.
Yeah, I don't think I've been to Maine either.
I hear they got some beaches with the beach glass.
Really?
Yeah. That they have a beach that has all this rubbed glass. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've heard about it, but it's, yeah, it's like beach glass covering this beach. And I was like, it sounds beautiful.
How pretty.
I want to go see it. So anyways, bucket list. So, but in Maine is the Randolph Forest. I don't think I'll go here. I'll go to the beach, but I'm not going to Randolph Forest. So the small town of Randolph has the reputation for paranormal activity.
Oh.
One of the most common tales comes from Randolph Forest on Old Narrow Gauge Trail. Bicycle Larry, and I want to know how he got that name, mm-hmm. Bicycle Larry. Well, we're about to tell you. He lived with Norris Perry. Larry rode his bike throughout town every day until one day he suddenly goes missing. He was missing for months before Perry left a voicemail to his sister stating that the body could be found in the brook behind the house where Bicycle Larry lived. Police looked for the body of Larry with cadaver dogs, but never found it. And legend has it that Bicycle Larry haunts Old Narrow Gauge Trail in Randolph Forest. Feelings of dread and screams are not uncommon. So I want to know about this Norris Perry.
Me too.
Why would Norris Perry call up his sister and leave a
months later?
Why would he do that?
And months later, I don't understand.
Maybe Norris Perry killed Bicycle Larry. Who knows?
I mean, I feel like that's where the story was going because.
But in any case, Randolph Forest, Maine, haunted.
I don't like it. I don't like this Norris Perry character at all.
No.
He sounds
sketchy.
He sounds fishy.
Sketchy, untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm. He's got darty eyes. All right, we're heading back west, my favorite part of the country, California, and going to Yosemite National Park. So this park has some of the most scenic, natural, and diverse terrain found in national parks altogether. But there are areas within the park that are said to have spirits because, you know, if they didn't, why would we be covering it in this episode? It would be silly, really. So visitors who hike to Grouse Lake through the Chilnuana Falls Trail report a distinct cry resembling the sound of a dog. Oh, no. According to Native American folklore, the sound is the cry of a boy who drowned in the lake. It's said that his spirit calls to hikers for help, but anyone who ventures into the lake will be pulled under and drowned, a la Jason Voorhees at Camp Crystal Lake in Friday the 13th films, you guys. Another Native American folklore also tells of haunted waterfalls in the park. The Miwok believed the waterfalls were haunted by an evil wind that entices people to the edge of the falls and then pushes them over the edge. Right? So while the views, you guys, are spectacular because, you know, it is incredibly scenic there, don't venture to the area alone and always have necessary hiking equipment with you. And by that, I mean your couch inside of your home with the AC pumping. That's the hiking equipment you need. You don't need to be outside. Look at who wants to be with this. And right here, they're talking about this Native American folklore of this haunted evil wind that entices people to the edge of the falls and then pushes them over. This is very likely what happened to the gentleman that was, what was that park that you were talking about? The hot springs. Yeah.
Yellowstone?
Yes. The gentleman in 2016 that, you know, was lured by a siren. It was this evil wind that enticed him.
Naked woman. Hot springs. He thought party.
Hot is in the name of the place of his death.
Right.
Alrighty, moving on. Let's go south, Marie Rose. Or north. Let's go north.
So actually, this place sounds pretty neat. I've never been to Oregon, and I can't say it's a bucket list, but that's someplace I've never been. But this sounds like a beautiful spot. Crater Lake National Park.
The pictures are really pretty.
So nestled in the Cascade Mountains of Southwest Oregon, Crater Lake is one of the most intriguing and natural wonders of the United States. The lake is so clear that the sun's rays can be seen from the bottom of the lake, wow. which measures 1,943 feet deep, creating a pristine blue appearance.
Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It looks, I could dig this.
Yeah, it looks like a postcard. Like the water is so still and glass-like. It's very pretty.
So the lake is truly enchanting, which may explain some of the mysterious activities that happens around the area. There are numerous stories about ghostly encounters, disappearances, and legendary beasts. Forest rangers have shared their own accounts of odd activity in the forest, including chasing a dark, this cracks me up, including chasing a dark, smelly creature through the woods until it started throwing pine cones at them.
It's smelly cat.
Smelly cat, right. Or the numerous accounts of campfires in vacant areas of the forest with no sign of people. That's kind of creepy.
That's very creepy.
Like a ghost campfire. And then add to that the park's history of accidental deaths, which in a national park, I mean, I want to say that's common.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And murders, which, well, I'm not calling that common. And you'll quickly discover that the park is truly enchanted.
Or is it? Enchanted is not a word I would use. Yeah, I'm with you. The accidental deaths are going to happen. People have accidents. Or, you know, it could be natural cause. Like, it was, you know, your day to go and you didn't run into Amy in the woods for her to tell you. So you didn't know to go.
Right.
You didn't know to prep and you expire right there on the trail. It happens. It happens. All right. So we're going to go to Georgia, north of where we are, to Constitution Lakes Park, because why the hell not?
I'm not going.
You better get in this damn car, Marie Rose.
No, going. No.
All right. So here's the skinny on Constitution Lakes Park. So it's wetlands, it's wildlife, it's crazy art. It is in Atlanta, and it is a unique wildlife preserve. So this particular park used to be the site of a brick company until it shut down like 50 or so years ago. So the county bought the land and started paving trails and boardwalks around the ponds. One of the popular trails in the center of the park is called Doll's Head Trail. Right there, you lost me, because I'm not going on a trail that's called Doll's Head. No, I am not. So you're not getting in the car. I'm not getting on the trail.
No, not going. Not
so
doing that.
This particular trail is filled with discarded doll parts, bricks, and all kinds of random objects, like all throughout the park. So the trail, which is intended to be an art project, was created by a local carpenter who wanted to encourage the visitors to contribute their own found art to the trail. So, you know, I'm like, could that be anything? A McDonald's cup? Like, I don't know what kind of art they're talking. But so in addition to the dismembered doll parts throughout the trail, the park is a playground for snakes that live in the wetlands. So right there, two things.
Going.
Two big nopes, because Dalta Trail and snakes. And that it's a playground for snakes?
No.
Hails no.
No.
No. So if you're not like bothered by the creepy dolls or by the playground of snakes, then it might be the right place for you.
No.
Yeah. So let me entice you. It's close to downtown Atlanta and offers a tranquil escape from the noise of the city.
No, I'll stay. Right? I'll stay in the noisy city. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So, you know, there aren't, I didn't find any hauntings at this place, but that they are creating art with dismembered doll bodies and they have snakes just frolicking around disturbs me greatly.
Frolicking snakes.
Yes. Frolicking snakes. So
sneaky snake. That's a song.
Sneaky snake.
Sneaky snake.
So that's a hard pass for me. Yeah. I've not come across a forest that I'm willing to visit yet in our lineup, tonight's lineup.
I don't know. The crater lakes got me intrigued. I could be enticed to go to Oregon to see that beautiful lake.
But it's haunted.
Okay, I'll wear a lot of amethyst.
Alrighty, don't call me when you're scared in the night, Marie Rose, because that's not a call I'm going to answer.
Okay, so I'm going to cross the pond and go to Russia, to the Smolensk Forest. In 1943, at the height of World War II, German troops invaded Smolensk Forest and discovered a mass grave containing thousands of dead Polish soldiers. Some estimate that there were 20,000 dead bodies here. Ultimately, it was determined they'd been massacred on Stalin's orders. So if the presence of 20,000 lost souls wasn't enough to frighten people away, then there was the tragic plane crash that took place there in 2010, which killed 96 Polish political, military, and business leaders. That just ends it for me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
don't, that sounds horrible.
Man, 20,000 bodies. That's horrible.
Horrible. War is horrible.
Yeah.
War is horrible.
Wow, that's a lot. And to not have a proper burial, to not like, oh, that's sad. Mm. I did not care for that one.
No.
And can you imagine like how lost those souls are? Like what cycle do they continuously go through, or do they know they're dead? Do they know where they are? Do they know how to get home?
It's you know, you can only pray that they crossed over mm-hmm. and that they're at peace.
Yeah.
And that they're not trapped there.
They're not just lost. Yeah.
Just reliving that hell. Mm,
that's sad. Yeah. That's sad.
It's, or that they went to a happy place.
Yeah.
You know, if they're
like immediately,
if they're going to be earthbound, then dang, hopefully they're at peace somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're at Six Flags. They're not at that hellhole.
Yeah. Oh, they're at Harry Potter World.
That would confuse a soldier from World War II, wouldn't it?
But I mean, you know, if they're just moving about in time is our thing. It's not theirs. Who knows where they are, Marie Rose?
Well, I just hope
they might
at peace.
Be walking around outside.
No. I've got my house and my like property very protected.
Oh,
that
gosh.
Is not happening.
Oh, gosh.
Don't make me go out and reprotect my property.
All right.
Because I'll do it.
All right, you guys. So last on our list for tonight, we have, I believe it's pronounced Aokigahara Forest in Japan. So if you don't know it by that name, then you're about to know it by this one, Suicide Forest. So yeah. I've heard of this forest. Like, I heard about this a long time ago. There is a horror movie based on this and, you know, the whole gamut. So this forest is on the northwestern side of Mount Fuji. It is referred to as Suicide Forest and really is like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. So it's also referred to as a sea of trees because I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So it is the site of numerous suicides dating all the way back to the mid-1900s and unfortunately makes the list for the third most popular suicide location in the world.
Well, suicide is a thing over in Japan. I mean,
it's a huge thing.
Die honorably.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put their samurai, you know, they'll fall on their samurai sword, cut each other's heads off to die honorably.
Yeah. This goes way back. Right, yeah.
Instead of being captured.
Yeah.
In war.
Oh yeah. This goes way back. And it still is not, it's not looked at the way it is in our country, for example. I mean, it's a very different thing in Japan for suicide. So, you know, if that's not enough, there is a sign at the entrance of the forest that reminds the visitors that life is a precious gift and to please reach out if they are struggling, because nobody wants that. Like, I'm sure Japan does not want this forest to be known as Suicide Forest, because it is incredibly beautiful and picturesque, and, you know, for it to have this reputation. So in any event, the reason for its reputation could have something to do with the fact that Japanese mythology has associated forests with demons for very, very long. Like, it goes way back in their history. And the trees in this forest are so tightly packed that it makes it so that people have said, like, all kinds of visitors have said, when you are in there in the thick, in the midst of the woods, it is like the most eerie silence. Like, you can hear yourself breathing and it sounds so loud, like it's amplified. And trying to communicate to someone else, like to yell for help or something, like, nobody's going to hear you because the trees are so packedly tight and they're so voluminous, like the leaves and all the foliage. It's like you're in a freaking sound booth.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, it has been said, you know, for a very long time that it is a hotbed for paranormal activity. And goodness. So these woods are 13.5 square miles. And, you know, like we said, the foliage there is so thick that you can't hear a freaking thing. So let's talk about the woods. So the most popular suicide, or the third most popular suicide destination in the world. So statistically, the suicide rates vary, in part because the forest is so lush that some of the corpses go undiscovered for many, many years or at all. Like, people are just lost. And it is estimated, however, that there are approximately 100 people per year that successfully commit suicide in the forest, which is super, super sad. So like you were saying, Marie, there is a long history of suicide in Japan, and it does have a lot to do with honor and really just doing things your way and staking your claim. So it's a sad history for sure. It's sad for us because that's not our tradition, or that's not, you know, that's not in my culture. It's not. So that doesn't resonate with me in any way.
No, that's not in our culture.
Yeah. And Japan does have one of the highest suicide rates in the world. So the global financial crisis of 2008 made matters a lot worse, which resulted in over 2,600 recorded suicides in January of 2009, which at that time was a 15% increase from the previous year. And in March of that same year, the numbers peaked. And in 2011, the executive director of a suicide prevention hotline told the Japan Times that callers most frequently cite mental health and family problems as the reason for contemplating suicide. But behind that is, you know, there's the financial issues, losing your job, like it's the typical stuff. But their rates are incredibly high, incredibly high.
Yeah, it's, you know, dying. They think, you know, it's a death by honor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather die with honor than live in shame.
Well, some and thing. More historically, yeah. That was a thing. And, right. You know, now it's life, like, just gets the best of you, like stuff just brings you down. So suicide prevention attempts are a big thing now and include surveillance and positive posts. So if I didn't know about this, I would really wonder what these posts are for if I was just roaming around in Japan. But because they have such a high suicide rate, the government has enacted a plan of action that aims to reduce the suicide rates by 20% within the next 7 years, which is very cool.
That's good.
They're being proactive about it. Good for them. Yeah. So part of what they're doing is putting security cameras at the entrance of the forest, which very cool. They're increasing the patrols, also very cool. They have suicide counselors and police who have posted signs on various paths throughout the forest with messages that say things like, think carefully about your children, your family, and your life is precious. Your life is a precious gift from your parents, which all very nice and encouraging positive messages just to, you know, hopefully make someone think two and three times about doing something like that.
So these positive messages throughout the forest, does this unhaunt the forest?
No. Unfortunately. And I don't really know that you could. You know, I really don't. I don't know that that's something you could do or that you should do unless a being specifically, you know, an entity specifically asked to be released in some way. And if you could do that, then fantastic.
Just, I would think that these positive messages throughout the forest would try to change the energy of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would say that maybe it would be possible if the suicides didn't continue, that positive energy would far outweigh.
Right. It would take a lot
of energy. Yeah.
It would take a lot.
And but that it continues, I think, would just keep like.
Right. And the trees have a long memory.
Mm-hmm.
They have been present for a lot of tragedy. And they have a long memory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sad. I'm glad they're trying to do something to reverse it.
Yeah, me too. So this forest does have an eerie feeling as it is. So the reputation aside, it is, it's like, I don't remember which forest it is that we had talked about earlier. And I think you talked about it, Marie, but the trees twist and turn.
Right.
And they grow in these really weird patterns and treacherous threads. And the terrain is very uneven. It's rocky. There are hundreds of caves. It really leads to this feeling of isolation and complete stillness. And again, because the trees are so tightly packed, like you can't hear a damn thing and nobody can hear you. So it's got to be like the creepiest feeling. It really does. So the majority of the people that go there are found hanging from a tree. That's the most popular way to commit suicide over there. And this forest was actually, or, you know, the using this forest as a place of suicide was popularized in a novel that was written, in a book that was written in the 1960s by a Japanese author, in which a heartbroken lover retreats. He writes about a heartbroken lover who retreats to the sea of trees to end her life. And this is, he calls this forest the perfect place to die. So, you know, it was back in like the mid 1900s is when this became a huge thing.
That's horrible.
I know.
Horrible.
I know. So, oh goodness, I don't even know. So the suicide forest may be haunted. So there are many that believe ghosts of those abandoned by Ubasut and the mournful spirits of the suicidal linger in the woods. So folklore claims they are vengeful, dedicated to tormenting visitors and luring those that are sad and lost off the path. So not cool. They do hold annual searches in the woods, and this has gone on since the 1970s. So they have volunteers who patrol the area, and they also have this annual effort to go and find people in the woods. Now, what they're doing is not a rescue, but it is to recover remains because, yeah, I'm sure they've rescued a few people, but typically the effort is to go and recover. It's not rescue. So it's police and volunteers, and they go through the forest and bring back bodies for
recovery.
Yeah, for proper burial, which is really nice. I think it's really nice. But they, you know, they typically do uncover, you know, somewhere around 100 bodies a year, just, you know, just doing this. So when they do see somebody coming with a tent, they do consider that to be a person that has doubts, like they're still on the fence about wanting to do it, or, you know, trying to work through things and live. Some of the people will camp for days, and the people that are on the prevention patrol will attempt to speak with them gently and encourage them to leave the forest and to, you know, not harm themselves.
Try to save them.
Mm-hmm. Because the forest is so thick, visitors use tape to avoid getting lost. So it's visitors, volunteers, all kinds of people, the police, when they're walking through there, they will string tape around the trees, kind of like, you know, leaving a trail behind them, mm-hmm. so that they can get back, because it is incredibly easy to lose your bearings out there and not make it back. So, yeah. It just, goodness gracious, I don't even know. Like, it has such a sad history, you know, it's just sad. It's super sad. I don't even know what to say about it.
Well, definitely haunted. Mm-hmm. Definitely haunted.
Definitely haunted, for sure. I mean, there are so many, hopefully not lost souls, but people that have been lost in this world and have gone there to make things better, to end things, to, you know, whatever.
I mean, the place sounds beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they get there and probably find some peace and quiet.
Yeah.
And they're already lost in their own head.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably just makes it easy for them to end it there.
Agreed. And definitely agree.
It's just, ugh. I know. It just makes me sad.
It's so sad.
Makes me sad.
So sad. I know. I don't like it. So with that, you guys, our Haunted Forest episode is coming to an end. But before we go, we do want to talk about a crystal. So what are we talking about? The amethyst. This is one of my favorites.
Yeah, protection.
Yes,
protection.
So if you go to crystalvaults.com, you can read this content, and I will tell you, amethyst crystals in darker shades could be just what you are looking for to aid in finding or discerning your direction in life. Amethyst has been highly esteemed throughout the ages for its stunning beauty and legendary powers to stimulate and soothe the mind and emotions. It's a remarkable stone of spirituality and contentment, known for its metaphysical abilities to still the mind and inspire an enhanced meditative state. Its inherent high frequency purifies the aura of any negative energy or attachments and creates a protective shield of light around the body, allowing one to remain clear and centered while opening to spiritual direction. Amethyst stimulates the third eye, crown, and etheric chakras, enhancing cognitive perception as well as accelerating the development of intuitive and psychic ability. It also initiates wisdom and greater understanding. The amethyst is a spiritual gem steeped in lore and legend. It is one of the 12 gems of the breastplate of the high priest, and it is a stone in the ring of a Catholic bishop, hence the bishop's stone. The deep purple color of the amethyst presents an atmosphere of pious calm, and it is the stone of spiritual contentment.
I love it.
Me too.
The color is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, I've got amethyst all mm-hmm. over my house.
I don't right now, but I have several pieces of amethyst, and when I was having trouble sleeping, like during after we finished Reiki level one,
mm-hmm.
I had a lot of activity going on in my home, especially in my room when I was trying to sleep at night. And so I created a grid under my mattress right on the side of the bed where I slept to protect me, to ward things off, and to help me to sleep. And I do believe that it really helped. I do. I loves my amethyst. They are the best. And they're so pretty. That purple color.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful.
I have a really big piece that sits in the living room usually. And it is so pretty. So pretty. I love it. So there you guys have it. We scared you with some haunted forests. And hopefully encouraged you to just stay home this summer. Don't go outside.
Because which is the opposite of what everybody tells you.
Because no one's safe. We hit you with a little tarot. We hit you with a little
little crystal love.
A little amethyst crystal. And we're going to leave you for the night and encourage you to stay safe and don't judge yourself. Don't judge others. Get to know your crystals. Get to know your guides and stay out of the woods.
And be safe.
Yeah.
Be safe.
Outside of the woods. All right, you guys. Until next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We will be back with some new content. And we hope you guys have a kick-ass week. Love you guys. Yep.
Good night.